Today we're doing a few things, three separate things, if we can fit them all in. Two of which you did pre-labs for. That's why you had two different pre-labs for today. What I want you to start with is the owl DNA PCR, which is page 141. Okay, so after I'm done talking, put on gloves and follow these instructions exactly. All right? Now, I want you to start with that because I need to give you some... I just want you to get that up and running right away. Once you have that up and running, and this is just the beginning of the experiment, so we won't get any results that we can look at until next week. But this, follow this carefully to maximize your chance of getting good results, because it's easy to mess things up and not get any results, which is kind of a disappointment. So do all that stuff on page 141 exactly as written. Then after you have your tubes set, well, let me say something about the tubes as well. In this, on page 141, in step 6, it says to use a microcentrifuge, which is what these are. I don't want you to even bother with that step. So cross out number 6. Usually you use a centrifuge to separate things, like I was talking about in class, and you do that for minutes, or a minute at least. Here, what they were trying to get you to do, if you did that, was just centrifuge them for a couple seconds. Basically, just for any liquid that's on the side of your little tubes to drip down to the bottom. You want it all in the bottom. So you can really do the same thing. Instead of number 6, just make sure it's the cap is sealed first on your tube and hit it on the counter a few times. That'll be good enough. Okay? By the way, the tubes I'm talking about are tiny. Don't touch these with your bare hands. Once you have gloves, you, of course, can touch them, but they should be in your plastic tray. Those are the PCR tubes, and they're a bitch to label. So, but you need to label them somehow. You don't have to actually label them with what it says is the contents. Make yourself a little key on paper, and so you can just make some sort of symbol or number or whatever to be able to tell next week what it is. Okay? But you need to not only label the multiple tubes that you as a group are doing to keep them separate from each other, but also when it says to put them, I forget how it's phrased, it says... It says, place it in the PCR machine. You're not doing that. I'll put them in the PCR machine, which, by the way, is called a thermal cycler, is the real name for it. That's this thing. So don't open this. But when you have your tubes ready, this is Tuesday. This is our sheet. And this grid... 1 through 12 on columns and A through H on rows corresponds to the grid that is inside this. All right? And it's important for you to pick any open squares, each square corresponding to one tube. So the first person up here can choose anywhere. But this is going to determine where I put them in the machine. So write down your identifier, your group initials or whatever in the spaces that you're going to choose. But then, more importantly, that grid corresponds to this as well. Make sure you put the corresponding tubes that you have in exactly the same slot that this chart corresponds to. That way, once all the tubes are in here, I can put them in the corresponding slots in the machine itself. Is that all clear? Okay, so that's not explicitly said in the thing. So skip number 6 and do what I just said instead of putting them in the machine. Other than that, you're following the instructions exactly as written. Now, notice that on step three, it says you bring up your labeled tubes, and you can work as pairs or as three if you need to. But you're bringing up your tubes to me to get part of your contents. That's where it says that I will be adding 20 microliters of a solution. I first need to prepare that solution, but that'll only take me a couple of minutes while you're labeling stuff and doing the first couple. Anyway, whenever you're ready, come up to me, someone from your group with your tubes, and I will micropipette that stuff in there. Then you can continue on. Let me just explain, though, what the technique that we're doing today is as background information. We're doing PCR today, which is short for polymerase chain reaction. And this is a very useful technique that really just mimics what a cell does during DNA replication, as we've already learned it in lecture. Now, a cell, a normal living cell, undergoes just one round of DNA replication, right? So it has two duplicates, one for each of two cells that it'll split into. The polymerase chain reaction technique was developed to do the same thing, but instead of in a cell, in test tubes. And instead of doing it just once, like one cell does, you do it as many times as you want, which is why that machine is called a thermal cycler. You tell it how many cycles to go through. The reason this is so useful is that every cycle in the machine is like one cell cycle, which means every cycle doubles the amount of DNA that you had previously. And PCR is used as an amplification technique. There's all kinds of reasons why you would need DNA. Forensics is just one example. PCR got really famous during the O.J. Simpson trial for forensics reasons. But whatever you need DNA for, you need a certain amount, and sometimes you don't have all that much. This is especially true in forensics. You might just barely have any DNA available at a crime scene, for instance. And to run any tests on it, you need a lot more than that. Well, you can create as much as you want, which is identical to the DNA that you have as your original sample, using PCR, because it does just what a cell does, makes exact copies of it, and it doubles it every cycle. So that's not a linear increase, that is an exponential increase, right? Typically we set the machine to go through 40 cycles, which means you double it 40 times. So you end up with 2 raised to the 40th power as much DNA as you started with, all identical. And that's the usefulness of it. So it uses really the same chemicals, enzymes, and raw materials that the cell does, just doing it in a test tube. And that's what you're setting up today. You won't see any results because the machine has to run for hours while you've already left. We'll put those on ice, and then you'll deal with your samples next week in another technique. All right? So that's just a setup for today. The rest of it, though, the second of the three things is DNA replication, which you've already learned, so this should be kind of review at this point. And that starts at 132. Once again, you're using these puzzles, but for a different reason this time. So 132 through 134 is the DNA replication part. That should make sense to you because you've already used these puzzles and you've already learned this stuff. But it's helpful to go through the puzzle to make sense of it and talk it out as usual. Then the cell cycle is the third one, which is the next page, 135. Except you can cross out that table and really don't pay attention to what it says to do. The cell cycle, which you've already learned, the cell cycle, right, in lecture, so you'd be familiar with the cell cycle. All you really need to do is demonstrate that you can identify subphases of mitosis, or really of the cell cycle itself. Most of them will be mitosis. There are five microscopes here. So each one has a slide on it of onion root tip. We use root tips because root tips are the most actively growing part of the plant, meaning there's a lot of cell division going on. So it's the most likely part of a plant where you're likely to be able to find cells that are somewhere in mitosis, the M phase. But anyway, each slide is unique. It's different from all the others, and each slide features hundreds of cells in it. I don't look at these until I tell you I've set them up properly, because what I'm going to do is pick out one cell from each slide. You can ignore all the other cells and pay attention to just the one slide that has the crosshairs right on the cell. So don't move it at all, because it's just one cell I want you to look at. And just write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and see whether you can visually identify which subphase is being represented by the cell on that scope. And if you have any questions, just ask me. Check with me to see whether your answers are correct. But try to guess it just based on what you've already learned and how the subphases look. All right, any questions for those three things? Seems like a lot, but you should be able to get it all done.